If you got your Bibles this morning, we're going to be over in Acts chapter 12. And what we're going to talk about is something happens when God's people pray. We'll start at verse number 1 and read down through number 5. It says, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then there were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quarterons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." We see that this is a time of trouble. God's people are attacked by Herod the king. James, the brother of John, lost his life, and Peter is thrown in prison. You know, as I was studying this, I was thinking about a friend of mine that's over in Haiti, and I talked to him probably at least two or three times a week by messenger most of the time, because his English is not real plain and I can't understand a lot of it, but I can understand some of it. But anyway, he told me about all the trouble that they have over there with the gangs and with the stuff. And he is a pastor over there, and he's over one church, or he's got one church, but then he oversees, I think, seven or eight other churches, and he's got an orphanage also. But he was telling me how some of the churches, they had to shut them down because of the gangs were so bad in those particular areas. And I was just thinking about how James and Peter were persecuted for standing up for the church. And that's how they are over in Haiti. They're being persecuted for standing up for the church and for God's word. And, you know, we don't really have much of that going on around here. We have people, you know, that like yesterday we went out and knocked on doors, inviting people to church and telling people about the Lord. And, you know, some people, they just didn't want to hear it. But we don't have people actually persecuting us the way they did back in James and Peter's time, or the way they're doing over in Haiti. But there might come a time when we are persecuted like that, and it'll be up to us is how we're going to stand up, if we're going to stand up for God's word, or if we're going to bow down to the enemy. James, the brother of John, lost his life, and Peter is thrown in prison. The Jews pressed those attacks against the early church because they hated the gospel they preached. And Herod persecuted the early church because it gave him favor with the Jews. After Herod had killed James, he saw that it pleased the Jews. He proceeded further to take Peter also. We also see in verse number 5 that after Peter was put in prison, the church began to pray without ceasing unto God for him. You know, that word to pray without ceasing means to continually pray. That don't mean that you're going to get on your knees and you're going to just pray, and not ever stop praying. But that means that you're going to do it every day or several times a day and just keep doing it. And I don't know about y'all, but I've got certain people, and some of these people I've never met in my life, but I've been praying for these people for years. And God, you can slowly sometimes watch them over the years and watch God, how he's working in their lives and how he's answering that prayer. But he's doing it in his time and in his way. But and some of these people that I pray for, I may never meet. But, you know, that's just God. You know, he puts that on my heart. And why he uses me to do such things as that, I don't know. But I just do it, and I don't question. It's a good thing to have a church family that will pray to God on our behalf when we are in trouble or sick or whatever the case may be. Church is important, and the praying church is very important. We see James died for his faith, for the church, and for the church. Peter was thrown into prison for God's word in the church. How important is God's word and the church to you? You know, just like some of us get together and go out visiting, knocking on the doors and passing out tracts and telling others about Jesus Christ, but I understand that everybody can't go out and pass out tracts and knock on doors. But let me tell you, it was hot out there yesterday, about middle of the day, and we was parked the van and we split up into groups and was walking blocks around Andalusia just knocking on doors. But what you can do is you can pray for the ones that's on the front line, the ones that's out doing that kind of stuff. And that prayer is just as important as us getting out and doing that. We see that Herod is one who killed James and arrested Peter. We also see that Herod's actions pleased the Jews. So Herod and the Jews are responsible for that, but they are just the human instruments that are being used. The one that's truly to blame is the devil himself. The devil hates the word of God and the church, and he will do whatever he can to destroy it, and he will use whoever he can to do it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You know, the devil, he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our children. He wants to destroy our homes, our marriages, and our churches. And it's up to us to stand up and to fight. And the way we do that is through the word of God. You know, the devil don't care about you or who you are. All the devil wants is for you to fall into his trap. The devil hates the church. He hates the gospel that's preached. And he hates the Lord. The devil was out to destroy the church from the very beginning, and he's still out to destroy it today. There might not be people wanting to cut your head off with a sword or throw you in prison, but the devil has ways that he still destroys churches today. He still destroys God's people. Churches split these days over many different things, and the devil is behind it all. The devil will put thoughts in our minds. He will make a simple business meeting turn to chaos. People get mad when there's a disagreement within the church. People get mad because so-and-so didn't speak to them. Some people even get mad because a preacher preached on their sin and hurt their feelings. The list goes on, but the devil uses these things to break up churches. We operate in a world that is hostile to our message. Most of society today has no use for us or the message that we preach. Many churches today, financially, numerically, and spiritually, are in deep trouble. In many cases, the only churches that are growing are those that have embraced a more worldly atmosphere. The ones that have compromised, the ones that do not preach sound doctrine, they are the churches that do not preach against sin. Therefore, there is no conviction for the sinner. You know, I don't want to go sit in a church nowhere that the preacher's not going to preach against my sin, because there's many times I sit over there and get my toes stepped on by whoever's behind the pulpit. And that's just conviction. And that's how the Lord deals with us. And we have to use that in order to change the way we live our lives. That's good. My King James Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." That word, "preach the word," means to preach God's word, not man's opinion. You see, I can stand up here and tell you what my opinion is, but my opinion really don't matter if it's not God's word. Amen. And where a lot of people get confused is a lot of preachers, they don't use the Bible. They're going to tell you what they think the Bible says. Or somebody told me something, and he said, "Well, it's in the Bible." I said, "Well, won't you show me where it's at in the Bible?" Well, he couldn't show me, and then I couldn't find it, so therefore I knew it wasn't in the Bible. But somebody had told him that, and he thought it was in the Bible. The word "reprove" means to scold or correct, usually gently or with kindly intent. The word "rebuke" means an expression of strong disapproval. The word "exhort" means to urge strongly. The word "long-suffering" means patiently enduring. The word "doctrine" means teaching. Sound doctrine means true teaching. You know, I'm thankful that there's been some preachers in my life that have preached the word, that have reproved me and rebuked me, exhorted me with all long-suffering and doctrine, because, you know, sometimes I've not always been easy to teach, and I've not always obeyed what they said. We are commanded to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, but many people don't want to hear the truth because it's against their sin. Many people have turned their ears from the truth and would rather hear lies because it doesn't go against their lifestyle or the sin that they are living in. Romans 5:21 says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the only thing that sin's going to get us, says right there, is unto death. That righteousness brings us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you're a saved, why do you continue to live a life of sin? My Bible says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate. You know, it's okay for us to be different. Yeah. It's okay for us not to do the same things that the lost world does.
That's right.
It's okay to stand up for the truth, even if you stand alone. Romans 6, 1 through 2 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Romans 6, 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You know, for a long time, I didn't think chewing tobacco or smoking cigarettes was a sin, but the Lord dealt with me on that. And I remember times when I would come to church and I would sit on the pew and I'd have that old tobacco in my mouth and not even think anything about it. And it wasn't until the Lord convicted me of that I realized what I was doing was wrong and how it was affecting my body, and that our body is supposed to be the temple of God and we shouldn't put those things in. And then it's the same thing with country music. And I can't tell you that all country music is bad, but probably most of what I listen to, and it wants to make you get you a cooler full of beer and ride dirt boats, that's wrong. That's not what we're supposed to do. Churches that stand up for the truth and preach the word of God and do not compromise are not very popular in our world today and are dying at an alarming rate. Our church is not immune from troubles and attacks. We need God's help as much as any other church in the world today. If there was ever a day when the church needed to learn to lean on the power of God, it is the day in which we live. Back in Acts 12:5, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. We see in this passage one word that changed the whole outcome of the situation that is at hand here. We see that the church came together in prayer for the man of God that was in trouble. It was a fervent prayer. It says prayer was made without ceasing. This is the church pouring out their hearts before the Lord as they seek his face for their needs. You know, just like Miss Crystal said, we need to be praying for our vacation Bible school coming up in a few weeks. You know, if all of us come together as a church and pray for our vacation Bible school coming up in a few weeks, think of what the Lord might do in that. Right. Think about how many young kids or young souls might be saved because of that. You know, we don't know. Might be some adults come get saved from that. We might gain some fruit from that. We might have some kids' parents start coming to church from that. But it's up to us to prepare not only our hearts, but to prepare the hearts of the ones around us for that. This kind of praying that we need in our church and our homes today, that's the kind of praying that gets God's attention. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We also see that it was a faithful prayer. It says, but prayer was made without ceasing. This congregation came together and prayed to God and prayed for Peter. They prayed having faith that God would answer their prayer. When we pray, we must pray in faith. Faith is the essential ingredient that makes the difference between answered prayer and unanswered prayer. You know, if we're praying and we don't believe that God's going to do something, then why are we praying at all? Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, we need to be trying to seek the Lord and not just, like I said, praying just to be praying. When we see God's people come together in unity and pray to the Lord, believing that God would answer their prayers, God did just that. We see in verse number 7 that God sent an angel into the prison and woke Peter up, and his chains fell off. In verse 7 it says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands." And then we also see in verse number 8 it says, "And the Lord said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. But when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them on its own accord." Who do you think opened that gate? The Lord opened that gate. Just like a lot of times in our lives, we pray for something and the Lord answers our prayers. And we know that the Lord did it because there was no other way possible that it could be done. We see the power of God and how God works when we pray with faith, believing that he will answer our prayers. Ephesians 3:20-21 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." In 21, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So God can do, like it says right here, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But we got to pray with faith, believing that he will do it. You know, I wonder what God might do if we prayed in our homes as a family more. If we committed some time to just pray for lost people, pray for our church, the sick, I wonder how many people would get saved. I wonder how God would bless our church. I wonder how many people God would heal. God still answers prayers, but we must pray with faith, believing. You know, I was sitting on my back porch last night, and Brother Gabriel over in Africa that we sent the Bibles to, I was talking with him on Messenger on a video chat. And it was like 8 o'clock at my house, but it was 4 a.m. at his house. And, you know, he had been praying for God to send him some Bibles. And through our church, we was able to do that for him. But he says that he follows our ministry here at New Hope Independent Baptist Church. He watches us online to get ideas how he could lead his people. So it's up to us to set an example for others to follow. And God puts people in our lives like that. And I don't know why he does put people in our lives like that, but he does. And I try to talk to him just like I do. Brother Joe over in Haiti, I talk to him once or twice a week, and I don't always call him on Messenger, but sometimes I just text him or something. But it's real encouraging to me to know that he is watching what I'm doing. So, you know, I got to watch what I do because he's watching what I'm doing, and he's trying to get ideas from us and our church so that he can lead his people that's all the way over there in Africa. I'm going to leave y'all with this. There was this old lady that didn't have much money and didn't have much food in her pantry. So every morning she would sit on her front porch and pray and ask God to fill her pantry with food. There was a man that lived across the street from her that was an atheist. And one day he got tired of hearing her pray and ask God to fill her pantry. So he went to the grocery store and brought her some groceries. And he set the boxes of food on the lady's front porch. And when she found the groceries, she shouted, "God did it, God did it, God answered my prayer." And the atheist said, "God didn't do it. I bought you those groceries." The lady said, "God did it, God did it, and he used the devil to pay for it." And folks, the truth is, God can and he will do it if we have enough faith to believe that he will. God is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. That's what I got for today. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for just allowing us to come to your house, Lord, and just to lift you up in songs and praise, Lord, and just to learn about you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you be with the ones that's traveling to get here, Lord, for the next hour. I pray that you be with Brother Drew as he brings a message today, Lord. And I pray that you just let us be an example for you, not just in the church, but out in the world. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.